Big Brothers Big Sisters needs your help. There's a waiting list of more than 50 children hoping for a mentor. It's just a few hours a month. Be a mentor. Become a big. Visit Big Brothers Big Sisters Northeast Florida and click on Be a Big.
I want you to own it. And if you don't want to do that, you can't. You really can't be here.
This was not a knee-jerk reaction. This is something that I've been studying for a long time.
This is not only the right time for me to return to coaching, but the right place in Jacksonville as well. These fans, especially our loyal season ticket holders, deserve a winner. And I can speak on behalf of myself, my staff, and eventually our team. They will get our very best.
We need to be a coach-centric team and an organization where the head coach really has to lead the kind of players he wants, the kind of team we need to be. And the general manager, myself, we have to support that vision.
People who work for me, with me, they'll hear a statement that is just the best of the best. And if it's not, then the question is, well, why?
I've talked to Urban about our general manager, who it ought to be, and I, you know, and we're working together on it. I hope, you know, we'll have an announcement.
But when they see the Jaguar emblem, you better have ownership and you better love it.
And I think we got a great fan base. We need to deliver winning.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in. Happy March, baby. We got a brand new month. We got a new attitude around here, Tony Smith. Jaguars going to dominate the National Football League for years to come. Are you kidding me? Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Happy March.
Happy March.
You have big plans?
Not really. I do. Every year we get to March and I wonder why the heck February is only 28 days when we have months that have 31 days. I've never understood it. And every time that we get to March, I'm like, why?
Can lend me a day or two if you could.
Why is February 28?
I don't know.
When we have multiple months that are 31.
Don't know that.
And it was decided a long time ago. Like, this isn't like a modern thing that we came up with.
That guy Greg, I think, when he put the calendar together.
Yeah, we've had the calendar for a while.
Yes.
It's got to be some kind of planting season or something, right? Like, it's got to be something like that.
I have no idea, brother. I know this. I do have a pair of friends who got married on February 29th.
Oh.
One fine year.
Ooh.
So I think they've had like 7 wedding anniversaries, something like that. I don't know how that works, but I don't know what they do. They celebrate on March 1st.
Yeah, I know one person that was born on the 29th, and they celebrate every year, but they really blow it out every 4 years. You know, when they have their actual birthday. So
I bet they do.
Good for them.
Right? Bacchanalia. You ever do the thing, like, this is trending on Twitter right now. Rabbit or white rabbit. You ever heard of this thing? You say it on the first day of the month.
And no.
If it's supposed to be, well, when I was a kid, I don't know how these things filter out. Like, how they ever got to me as a kid in a pre-internet era, rotary telephone era. When I was talking to no one, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, how did they filter from school to school back then? Because that's where you got it from. You talk to your friends at school and they'd be like, oh, yeah, you got to say. For us, I thought it was like, say a word that starts with the letter R as the first word you say in that month or something. And it's supposed to bring you good luck. This is a thing.
Okay.
Like, it's a whole luck thing. It's a big luck.
No,
thing.
I had never heard that.
I did not.
Apparently, my friends didn't care about me having luck. They kept it
not.
All for themselves.
Or maybe it was just a stupid thing that nobody really paid any attention to, other than myself. It could have been, regionalized. But apparently, it is a thing. We say rabbit. It's like all over the internet today. Rabbit. Okay.
All right.
I guess it's something to do with the rabbit's foot. Why is the rabbit's foot lucky?
Yeah, well, I don't
lucky
know.
For the rabbit.
No, I mean, certainly not. No.
You know, hey, look, I'm a keychain. It's amazing. All right. Don't know. These are the kind of questions we ponder. E.T., how's your weekend?
What's happening, man? You know, solid weekend. You know, a little razzle, a little dazzle,
yeah.
Like always.
A little of both?
Yeah, a little razzle, a little dazzle. Nothing too special or nothing too spectacular.
Okay. Well, yeah. Sounds all right to me.
Had weekend. You heard this rabbit thing before, E?
Never heard of the
okay.
rabbit.
All right. Yeah.
You've never heard of it either at
no,
all?
Okay. No.
It's a thing.
I'm normally hip to
things like
that. I don't
doubt
that
it's a thing, yeah.
Oh, there are plenty of things that are things. Yeah. They're really probably not worth mentioning, but yet that's the way we started the month. Happy March, everybody. Rabbit, rabbit to all of you out there. Roger, roger.
You already messed it up. It wasn't the first thing you said.
I know. It wasn't. Well, I don't know what the first thing I said was. You know, come to think of it, trying to think of the, like, first thing I said today. No, I saw my beautiful bride this morning. That's right. That's right. Sometimes she's gone before I get up in the morning. So, you know, I wonder, do I talk to myself at the house? You know, do I actually speak a word until I see you at work? I do say hello to some people walking down the hall. So yeah. That probably would have been it.
Yeah. I don't say anything before I get here.
No?
No. Okay. I'm not a morning person. No.
Like a monk.
Well, that alarm go off and, you know, I turn up. As soon as that alarm go off, you know, it's action.
I don't understand how you do it. What it should have been today, we should have said Ryan Davis, Ryan Davis.
Yeah.
He's coming up at 10:35 today, a former Jaguar defensive end. Why is he so popular? Is it just his willingness to interact with fans, like on social media and stuff like that?
His personality, man. He's just always.
He has a good, right? But I mean, you can have a good personality, but if folks don't get a chance to see it, like he, you know, he was generally coming off the bench here. Good player, you know, good pass rusher and limited action for the Jaguars. He's always been very popular. More so than, you know, like it's easy to be popular when you're a five-time Pro Bowler. Things along those
no
lines.
No doubt, yeah.
And you're great.
You're Fred, yeah.
Yeah, you're Fred, you're Jimmy, you're whomever. Yeah. It's easy to be one of those guys, or easier to be one of those guys. Anyway, Ryan Davis is a very popular former Jaguar, and he'll join us coming up in about 30 minutes, talk about what he is up to these days and get his thoughts on the Jags team. I'm interested to see how closely he's keeping tabs on this squad, so we'll get into that with him a little bit later on. Our question of the day kind of aligns with that because he is popular. We're asking you today, and this is a question we've asked before from time to time, but you know, every once in a while we go back into the bin and recycle a few. And today's question of the day asks, who is your favorite? Not necessarily who you think is the best, but who's your just personal favorite Jaguar that never made it to a single Pro Bowl? Make sure you know for a fact who made it and didn't make it to a Pro Bowl before you start declaring those guys your favorites, you know? You'd be surprised who snuck into one along the way.
Yeah.
I wonder if the boat's going to get some love today.
He could.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
A lot of people like Blake, man. You know, he's a good guy. You know, wasn't a great quarterback. It's the way it goes.
Yeah. Not his fault that they picked him where they picked him.
Blake was on a couple of did he get it? He didn't get into a game last year. I think he was in Denver at one point.
Yeah, they signed him as the third quarterback at one point.
In Denver?
Yeah, it's when Locke got hurt and they were, like, ripping plays.
But this was, like, the week – was this the week after that they had to go with, like, a
– Yeah.
Or was he involved in that? Was he on the COVID list that week?
I don't – he might have been part of the room that got in the COVID list deal.
Right.
I think that's what it was.
Close
contact
situation.
Like, yeah, if he had worn a mask in that meeting, he would have played that week.
Oh, or Drew Locke never would have started another game in Denver. It would have been Blake Bortles' time, baby. He would have taken over. But anyway, whoever that happens to be, you can hit us up on Twitter with your favorite former
I think he was
Jaguar
in the Rams.
Or current Jaguar.
Yeah, I think he may have been back with the Rams
he
late in the year,
I think he was on a few rosters. He just never played a snap this year. So he doesn't have any stats for 2020.
And they went with Wolford. Yeah.
That's right. They did go with John Wolford. Man, John Wolford, maybe for a second there, well, that talk about it, they're dissatisfied with Jared Goff might have been thinking, I'm going to slide right in here and take this thing, man. And then here comes Matt Stafford for all that investment. And it's not going to happen like that, at least. At least if Stafford stays healthy, you wouldn't suspect. If you want to weigh in on the question of the day, there are a number of ways to do it. You can hit us up on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at IME2, the T.
What's that?
641-1010. On the phone line or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Reading Football Morning in America, the column by Peter King today. It seems overwhelmingly likely that we're going to the 17-game schedule this year. I haven't heard an NFL, quote, insider, you know, high-level reporter or media person suggest otherwise, really, at this point. Peter King makes a couple of points. One, they don't want to start it on Labor Day weekend because your ratings are not going to be as good. So they want to keep the start of the season at the same point. They do not want to add another bye week. So you're going to have just the one bye week in an 18-game or a 17-game, 18-week season. And that will push the Super Bowl back a week then.
Basically Valentine's Day week.
It would be February 13th is the actual, I think, I guess that would make Valentine's Day that Monday. But happy anniversary, honey, early. I don't think I'll forget, but just in case, just in case. So that will push the Super Bowl back a week. But the question we've asked a couple of times has been, how will they do the schedule? We presumed it would be an out-of-conference, cross-conference game, right? Because you don't – it's easier for a number of reasons. And Peter King laid out that it will likely, they suspect, be you will play the out-of-conference division that you played 2 years ago, meaning 2019, the Jaguars played the NFC South. And like they do now, when you're playing that division in the NFC, you match up. If you finish in fourth place last year, you play the fourth place team. So that would mean the Jaguars would add the Atlanta Falcons to the schedule. And Peter King added in his column that this year the AFC is expected to host all these games. And then it would rotate every year. So it would stay out of conference and make it easy. 1 year AFC host, next year NFC host. There's your 17th game. So with that, Tony, there's no, I don't know, did the if the agreement to play in London kind of pushed forward a year, you know, like it was over. It was supposed to end after 2020. So I think the way the Jags have talked about it is like, well, we'd like to continue playing there, but we don't have an agreement anymore. So it doesn't seem like that just like a contract. If you held out for a year, your contract would toll. The fact that they just wiped out those international games doesn't look like they're going to push them into the future. Now, remember, the Jags were supposed to play two in London last year, much to the chagrin of a lot of Jaguar fans. So you might go from a situation where you were supposed to have six home games last year to having nine this year. It's very possible. And now it's still possible that they play in London. I don't know. Possibly even two in London. I don't know. I'm not giving you any inside information on that. I don't have any inside information on that. I'm not suggesting a lean one way or the other. But could you imagine, man? I mean, we've got to get this COVID situation under control from a Jaguar fan perspective, you know, for a lot of reasons, obviously. But just from that narrow bandwidth, Tony, the debut season of Trevor Lawrence with nine home games in the stadium.
Yeah.
It's going to be must-see entertainment for Jaguar fandom.
Yeah, for the first time in a handful of years, right? Since early 2018, when the expectations were through the roof, it'll be back. You know, the fans will be back and have a reason to be hyped when they come to the stadium. So, yeah, you hope that everything gets worked out and they can get somewhere close to full capacity at some point in 2021, or earlier rather than later in the NFL season upcoming. I would assume that the teams that are going to get seven home games in the regular season are only going to get to host one preseason game, which is a real bummer. For those teams,
brutal
to only get one of the, I guess they're guessing at three preseason games this year coming back on the schedule, but we'll see how all that works out. That would give them a nice even 20 games that they could sell tickets for the upcoming 2021 season. Again, that's not official yet, but I'm with you. I haven't seen anybody say anything that indicates it's not going to happen.
No. The Jaguars, as it is, are scheduled to play this year, the Texans, Colts, and Titans, of course, at home. The Bills and Dolphins out of the AFC East. The Cardinals and 49ers out of the NFC West. And then their other game in that makes sense. And their other game – oh, wait a minute. We're missing – doesn't make total sense to me here. Shouldn't there be – oh, I guess that would be a road game. That's how it would work out. They would play AFC North, the Cincinnati Bengals, on the road. That's what it was. They'd play the Denver Broncos at home. That would be the other home game. So you'd add Atlanta to that. You'd have the Falcons, Broncos, 49ers, Cardinals, Dolphins, Bills, and your division opponents. Not too shabby.
No.
Either way. I mean, you're turning out for Trevor this year and Urban Meyer and the crew and everything that's new and the hope that is renewed in Jacksonville, FLA. So we'll talk about the prospect of a 17-game schedule, talk about the latest on the potential quarterback carousel that still could spin a time or two with some big names out there. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle thinks it's time for Houston to listen to offers seriously. So we'll talk about that coming up as well. Ryan Davis, former Jaguar, joins us in about 20 minutes. So stick around for that. If you want to be a part of the program, we've already told you how you can do that, or sit back and enjoy. Rabbit, Ryan Davis, everybody. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and ET. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, off and rolling here on the first day of the month of March. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, ET, Jaguars Today. Ryan Davis, former Jaguar, coming up in about 15 minutes on the program. Tony, I'm getting to the point where it's seeming more and more likely that the Jags won't be facing Deshaun Watson in a Houston Texan uniform.
Yeah.
At least this year. It doesn't seem that way. And I say this, and Houston has steadfastly said, we will not trade Deshaun Watson. We're not even entertaining offers. The only way people are apparently getting offers to Houston is they're calling the front office and leaving voicemails. That's been reported that the teams have actually said, hey, would you consider X for Deshaun? Hit me up. Oh, here's my number, right? Get back with me.
Hit me up, man.
You know, whenever you get a chance, just trade me your franchise quarterback, if that'd be all right. So we had on SiriusXM this week, and we had Sarah Barshop on, who covers the team for ESPN, and, you know, asked her on both sides of it, you know, do you think the Texans are going to cave here? They have given no indication that they're going to, but at the same time, she does not think Deshaun Watson will show up and play football for them. She thinks he is dead serious. He will not play football for the Houston Texans again. John McClain, who probably a little over a month ago told me that, I know for a fact, he said, the Texans will not trade Watson under any circumstances. Okay, and that was right after they signed Nick Caserio to be their new general manager. And I took it to be he was probably told that directly. Like, that was a direct quote. That's how emphatic he was about it. Now he puts out a column in the Houston Chronicle that says it's time the Texans entertain trade offers for Deshaun Watson, because he doesn't think he's showing up either at this point in time. So all to the benefit of the Jaguars, unless the Texans somehow get such a haul of draft pick compensation and all that that you know, down the road may turn out to be more beneficial. You never know how that's going to go. But I wouldn't mind seeing Deshaun Watson out of the AFC South.
No, certainly wouldn't bother me if that's what the end result of this thing is, and that they'd have to spin the quarterback roulette wheel again as opposed to having it settled. I mean, they had it settled last offseason. It wasn't even the offseason. Last year, on the eve of the season beginning, they signed Deshaun Watson to that long-term deal.
He's done. You're going to have to put up with him for probably the rest of his career.
Right. Like, it was DeAndre Hopkins had already been traded, so whatever drama that was seemed like it at least wasn't bothering Watson enough that he wasn't willing to sign a long-term deal with Houston at that point. Then everything that apparently happened through the 2020 season going into this offseason, the decisions that they've made in the front office, the relationship has apparently deteriorated to a point where Deshaun wants out, just wants out. And the idea that last September, Houston thought they had signed their quarterback to a long-term deal, that he played extremely well last year on a team that had nothing going on, right? Like, just had nothing going on. The defense was miserable. They should be drafting third, but they had traded that away so that they could protect Deshaun Watson's blind side. So it's, they may be able to recoup some of that, depending on who they might be able to work out a deal with. And according to reports, they're not talking to anybody about any of that right now, but you would think that they'd be able to get a gigantic haul for Deshaun Watson, and it would be about them making the right decisions with that. But the odds of them finding another quarterback that's as good as Deshaun Watson with whatever they get back are pretty low.
Right. Well, I mean, last year, and people will say, well, he only won four games. How good can he be? Well, you look at the numbers. The numbers were so efficient. He completed over 70% of his passes for 4,823 yards, most in the league, and he had a 33-7 touchdown interception ratio, had the highest yards per attempt of his career by a good margin.
Yep. And that's with them taking Hopkins out of the offense.
Right, taking him out. Everyone knowing you have to throw, you're always playing from behind, and his quarterback rating was 112. And I know quarterback ratings have adjusted up. Like, now you better be, like, if you don't have a 90, you're not very good at all, right? And before it was like, oh, if you hit 90, you're really good. Now, you know, it seems like two-thirds of the league, at least, the starting quarterbacks are
if you're not completing 65% of your passes, at least.
Right, but he's doing 70, and he's at 112 for a quarterback rating. So I know there are those out there who don't think he's all he's cracked up to be, but I'm not among those.
No.
You know, the prior two seasons, 11-5, 10-5, as a starting quarterback with the Texans, and times are changing. They say they're not going to franchise tag Will Fuller either. Look, Fuller had a tremendous year last year. Filling in, not filling in, I guess, but stepping up, I suppose, in the absence of DeAndre Hopkins. And regardless, not that this was the straw that broke the camel's back, but that can't make Deshaun Watson happy either, because he's always had a great chemistry with Will Fuller. Fuller's at least got, I think, one more game, if not two.
I think it may be one or two
at the beginning of the season that he's suspended for PEDs, right? I think is what it.
Yeah, it was him and Bradley Roby and AJ Boye.
That's right.
All the same deal.
Yeah, this is all the same guy. That I guess they were involved with getting their quote supplements from. So it's just looking more and more like this is, you know, maybe they play hardball, but I gotta believe this happens in the next 2 months if it's gonna happen. You can't beat the Texans and sit there and let this draft go by and then go in August, well, he's not going to show up, we better trade him, because then you lose all the leverage. You don't know what you're getting back. At least now you know if you're dealing with Carolina, for instance, and who knows, Deshaun Watson's got a no-trade clause, so he's got to agree to go anywhere. If they can put something together, at least you know, I'm sitting there, I've got the 8th pick in the draft this year. Can I get a quarterback there? Or if I trade him to Miami, do I get Tua in the deal? Or do I get the 3rd pick? I don't think Miami makes that deal without Tua going out the door. You're not going to bring Deshaun Watson and keep Tua around in there. You're gonna package him in and maybe give up one less first-round pick in the exchange. But either way, I mean, the media there has gotten to the point now where they just think he is dead serious about not playing football for them. And if you're the Texans, I think, you know, at the right deal, the problem is he's got to agree to it. Like, if he says I'm not going to the Jets, and the Jets clearly have the best offer on the table, that's where he's got to be a little bit flexible too. Though, you want out so badly, you're fine if you want to exercise your no trade clause, but then that's going to handcuff us to some degree, and we're not just taking any deal. If I'm the Texans, I'm not just going to say, well, I'll trade for a mid first rounder. Like, no, are you kidding me? I'd rather Deshaun Watson sit and rot. That would be my attitude, then sell him for way less than what his value is right now.
Well, you'd have to, if you're going to trade him, you have to at least be getting the opportunity to fill your quarterback spot in the trade, right? Like, whether that be for a player, like if you liked Tua and he's the one coming back in a trade with Miami, if Deshaun was willing to accept that kind of trade, if you liked Darnold, if the Jets were in that kind of thing, like, it would have to be something like that, or put you in position in the draft to draft a quarterback that you like. It would have to be one of those two conditions to start.
Right.
You know, if you're going to trade Deshaun Watson, and I don't know how many of those opportunities there are out there. I am chuckling to myself that Deshaun Watson, we have no idea where he would and wouldn't be willing to play, and we know where Russ would. Right,
here's my list.
Like, that is crazy to me still that Russell Wilson's camp was like, look, we're not looking to be traded, but this is where we would go. These are the 4 spots we would be willing to be traded to if we're going to get traded.
And that story, which came out in The Athletic last week, I spoke with Michael Sean Dugar, who was one of the 3 on that byline of that story, that these were the teams that Russell Wilson would accept the trade to. Talked to him Saturday night. He thinks Wilson is really, like, not, this is not just like, hey guys, I'm not really happy here. He is furious. He feels with the organization. It feels like they have ignored his suggestions, that he stormed out of a meeting prior to last year's Thursday night game against the Cardinals. And so we asked him, though, what's the likelihood that something gets done this year? He said, well, he thinks it's like 95-96% that he's in Seattle this year. He put it at 30% for next year. And he said the likelihood of Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll both being back in Seattle, 2% next year. That's where, like, Russ just can't coexist with him anymore. He's had enough Pete Carroll, And, you know, that's not me saying it. That's a guy who's pretty plugged in who broke this story on it. So, you know, that could be another big domino. I mean, we're just seeing unprecedented quarterback movement around the National Football League and potential. I mean, if Wilson or Watson were to go, I mean, it's probably already one of the biggest starter movement off seasons that we've seen. Guys who are starters on one team going to another team where they're expected to be the starter there. We've already seen it happen three times already.
Yeah, like it's been nuts in the past handful of years that we saw somebody of Peyton Manning status and Tom Brady status hit free agency, right? Like that isn't all that common that you see guys that have been at the top of their positions. Peyton was coming off the injury, so no one knew what that was going to look like. Tom Brady wasn't coming off any kind of injury. Like Tom Brady was trying to figure out where he could go and have a chance to win a Super Bowl, and boy, did he pick a spot.
It worked well.
Down there in Tampa for
That's
Tommy.
A good segue to our first call today. Ryan Davis coming up in a few minutes here on the program. Joe in Orange Park going to get in before that. Joe, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, before you hang up on me, I just want to run something past you. Jacksonville's never won a championship, okay? And would you trade the first pick? Just hear me out, okay?
Joe, I think you know you're going to say something so stupid that's going to deserve being hung up
if
on.
I'm going to suggest that we give the number one pick for Tom.
You've already twice told us not to hang up, and you haven't said what you're talking about. So go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you wouldn't do it for a championship?
What is the trade that you're proposing?
Just what you said, okay? Sign him for 2 years.
So you would get the number one pick in the draft for Tom Brady. Is that what
you're... Well, first of all, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to be all that great.
Joe, answer the question.
Trey Young.
All right, hang up on him. I'm just asking you to clarify the point, Joe, and let everyone know just how stupid you are. Trade the number one pick for Tom Brady. You idiot. I mean, seriously, Joe.
We're nowhere near...
God, you're so stupid.
The same position that Tampa was in. That is so dumb.
Yeah. I told him not.
Please, he doesn't have a driver's license. I don't have to worry about this guy driving on 95 when I'm going home today, right? He might be in the wrong lane, going the wrong direction. Traded for Tom Brady. You think Tom Brady's going to walk in this just add Tom Brady roster and we're going to guarantee a championship? Get the hell out of here, man. Come on.
That's how we're
starting the month of March? Really? Wow. All
that
right.
That guy needs some rabbit in his life.
Man, you call up and you're already – don't hang up on me. Don't hang up. We know you're going to say something ridiculous at that point. And you did. So there you go. Yeah. Congratulations. You win that. I don't know what that gets you. Not much. Ryan Davis. Let's wipe the palate clean here. Ryan Davis, former Jaguar pass rusher, will join us coming up next on the program. Question of the day, by the way, the answer may be Ryan Davis. Who is your favorite Jaguar, past or present, doesn't matter, who's never made a Pro Bowl? You can hit us up on social media with your response to that. Was I not hard enough on Joe? I certainly wasn't too hard on him. I know that. I'm just wondering if I wasn't hard enough on Joe for that absurd suggestion. We're going to trade the rights to Trevor Lawrence for a 2-year rental of a 40-something-year-old quarterback. I don't care if he's the greatest of all time. You know, where's Peyton Manning, Tony? In the top five of all time? Mm-hmm. John Elway?
Yeah.
How about them? You want to bring them back too? Ah, come on, man. I get it. He won the Super Bowl. They had a pretty good team to begin with. Stop. All right.
We've had the discussion. We would trade the rights to the number one overall pick for Patrick Mahomes and consider it for Herbert.
I wouldn't laugh him out of the room.
No.
I wouldn't do it. But I wouldn't laugh him out of the room.
That's the list.
Go away. Ryan Davis coming up next. Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
I don't know what you're playing in there, but that's like some old show or something like that. Yeah, let's just leave that off now, whatever. There you go. All right, smooth intro for our next guest this morning, Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith here. That's all right. It's about to get a lot better right now. So let's welcome in a former Jaguar, but I think for Jaguar fans in their hearts, he'll always be a Jag. Mr. Ryan Davis joins us this morning. Ryan, good morning. How are you, bud?
Hey, good morning, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're happy to have you, man. Just to catch folks up, you've been – I guess out of the league for a couple seasons, but what have you been up to right now?
Just been, you know, trying to stay in shape. I've been taking the kids to school and, you know, just really just helping out around the house a little more now, trying to navigate to see what the next move is and stuff like that. But I've been having fun being being a family man, the past couple of years, and focusing on that. But yeah, I've been, I'm out here. I'm in Jacksonville, working out, trying to stay in a little bit of shape.
Yeah. So is Jacksonville home, Ryan?
Yeah. Jacksonville is home.
Yep. Oh, that's awesome. Another one of the guys who played here and stayed here. Very, very cool. How much are you paying attention to what the Jaguars have been doing recently?
Oh, I've been, I've been paying attention to what the Jaguars have been doing a little bit. And I'm happy that they brought in Urban Meyer and his new staff. And I think it'll be good for the squad and for the city. Having a refreshed roster and everything like that will be good. And, it helps when we got a ton of cap space and, draft picks, and, so that helps.
Well, we got all those. There's no question about it. But we've had them in the past before, but never have the Jags had that number one overall pick before. But, what are your thoughts, Trevor Lawrence? Are we overhyping him? Is he going to transform this this organization, this fan base, or is that a lot to put on a young man's shoulders?
Not him. I think he's a player like him doesn't come around often. So I think Trevor can handle it. And I think he's going to transform this team. And I think we'll see the city. Be excited. I think it'll be reminiscent probably of those 2017 days where the team was, had the city pumped up. And I think we'll see that this year coming with Trevor Lawrence. I think he's as advertised. It's a can't-miss prospect, and a lot of people like to, overthink it and all that. I just want the Jags, and I overthink this one. Just take him and, let's move on. I think that'll help a lot.
You were here when the Jaguars were pre-Blake Bortles and after they drafted Blake. That was during your era here in Jacksonville. What was the feel in the locker room like before they had drafted Blake there at the top of the first round and after they drafted him? Like, how much confidence grew in the locker room after they had taken a quarterback as high as they took Blake Bortles?
I think who was the quarterback, Meyer? I think Blaine was my quarterback when I came in 2012. And I think I don't know what our record was. It wasn't good, of course. Mm-hmm. When we drafted Blake, it was excitement right there because we watched all the highlights at UCF, seen some amazing throws and whatnot. And, it's just, then you play the game and you see Blake mature. I think he had a season where he threw for, 4,000 yards, something like that, and 35 touchdowns. Yep. Where you could say, like, okay, he's got it. He's figuring it out. His trajectory is going up right now at this point. And then just to see, I don't know what happened. I don't know. We kind of let each other down in the process. We could have helped Blake a lot playing on defense. And that just goes to show you that, a young team like that, we really needed more, guidance, direction from up top on down. And Blake is just a young guy. There's a lot to put on his shoulders at an early age. So, I'm happy that the Jaguars now are in a position where they can draft a can't-miss prospect like Trevor Lawrence.
And knock on wood, let's hope you are absolutely right. We agree with you.
Right now.
You never know 100%, but I'm with you. I mean, we're all on board here. Ryan Davis here with us on Jaguars Today. Ryan, as a Bethune-Cookman alum, when did you first think you could actually make it to the National Football League? You may have always thought that, but when did it become a reality in your mind? Like, hey, you know what? I am going to earn some money playing this game.
Yeah, we dream about this kind of stuff. I want to be pro basketball, pro football player, and all that kind of stuff. But for me, it became a reality probably in 2010, 2011 when I started gaining some notoriety and in the MEAC conference at the time. That's the conference that Bethune-Cookman's in. And, I was getting all these postseason, awards and accolades and whatnot, and preseason accolades before my senior year. And that's when I kind of figured out, hey, I could probably get a little money playing this game. I could be a late round, mid to late round draft pick if I go out here and play my cards right, And my senior year, I pretty much did that. I came out and dominated Defensive Player of the Year, all the accolades you could possibly dream of coming out from a small school. And then, I realized that it's a spot for me. It's a roster spot for me in the next level. So I kind of knew that 2010, 2011. And, you know, I was able to, you know, have a nice career from.
Walk me through your game-clinching interception against the Houston Texans November of 2013.
Yes. Okay, so I don't know what down it was, what down the distance, but we were in our lightning package. Everybody should remember that lightning package. It's me, Sendarek, I think Dre, and I think Babin, Jason Babin, I think, at the time. Quarterback threw the ball, and naturally, you know, the guys had a good rush on that one. Me, not so much. You know, I was supposed to run a game with, I don't know who was on my side. I forget. It was either Dre or Babin. We were supposed to run a game. They had good pressure. The quarterback got the ball out, and me just turning and running to the ball, I noticed he's like, it's like slow motion. He's just bobbling. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to go and hit him, or it's going to go incomplete. But it bobbles, and he tips it up one last time, and it comes in my direction. So natural instinct, I just stuck my hand out there and, you know, just snagged it, you know. And I played tight end and all that kind of stuff. I got recruited to college to play receiver. So really, I always felt like I had had natural hands. So that was a good way for me to kind of show that in that aspect. But it was like second nature, really. It was like some backyard stuff that I used to do as a kid where you go out there and pretend you're making – you know, all kind of wild catches and whatnot. But, yeah, that was pretty much it for me. And, you know, it was surreal, unreal. I'm fresh off the practice squad. And at that moment, I kind of knew I wasn't going back.
Love it. Love it. Ryan Davis here with us. By the way, have you ever met a defensive player who didn't think he could star on offense, Ryan?
I haven't met one. Nope. Everybody thinks they could do it.
Of course. Everybody. Hey, you know everybody, what? You might have been able
good
to.
At basketball.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly,
right.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, I don't know.
Everybody's good in basketball. Everybody can catch. I'm like, man, what is going on? Not all y'all are good. No way.
Did you see those clips of Myles Garrett last week with the Browns dunking the ball?
Oh, yeah.
Right, like, he looks
good.
Yeah, he's an athlete, right? But I mean, it's a big step up from being an athlete who can dominate at the rec center to jump into the NBA. You know what I mean?
For sure. I mean, he can look good, you know, with tank top and the muscles, and you know he can dunk, you know, but that's a given. Everybody in the NFL got hops. Everybody can dunk and do all that. I want to see some full court game. I want to see you pass. I want to see you, you know, guard the pick. I want to see all of that kind of stuff when we're hooping in the gym. I want to see you set teammates up. You know what I'm saying? So everybody, you know, wants to score and look good and flashy and like, nah, I want to see your game. But you know, that's where I differ from a lot of these guys.
Did you guys play ball? I mean, much pickup ball in your days here in Jacksonville?
Oh, for surely. When I stayed at my first few years, I stayed at Thornton Park. I think it's called Deerwood Park now, something like that. Apartments. Oh yeah, they had a gym in there. I used to be in there faithfully all the time. Being there hooping and, you know, running games. If some of the guys are listening now, they'll let me know. They'll understand. But yeah, we used to hoop at Atlantic Coast High School. I remember we hooped one time with Grayson Allen. I think this was right before he went to Duke, I believe.
Yeah.
And just seeing him in the gym just jump everywhere off of one leg, crazy.
Yeah, he had the crazy. That, he still has the crazy hops.
Yeah, that's kind of when I put the hoop dreams to rest. I seen what elite talent. I seen the NBA talent up close before the NBA.
See this high school kid coming out, man, jumping over everybody. All right.
Jumping over everybody. I'm like, good.
Stick to pass rush.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I'm good on that. I'm 60 pounds heavier than high school, so I'm okay. I'm past that.
Who is your favorite teammate or two from your time here with the Jags?
Oh man, that's tough. I talk to them every day, man. I would say Andre and Derek. I'm gonna add two more: Chris Smith and Avery Jones. So I'm gonna add Tyson in there too. But those are my guys, though, man. I was just with Avery this past weekend. We went out for my birthday. You know, he came out and showed love and, you know, celebrated. But yeah, those are my guys, man. I talk to those guys almost every day.
Nice.
And, you know, yeah.
D-line click, sticking together right there. By the way, February 24th, if y'all want to catch Ryan next year on that birthday. So,
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, no invite, fam? All right, bet.
Oh, man. You could have came out, man. We was at Coop 303, man. We had some drinks. We had some food. It was good.
No pressure. I'll catch you on the back end. No pressure.
I think he thinks it's just assumed, E, you're always invited to everything. You don't need a formal invitation, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Ryan, you were a small school guy coming in, having to earn every single thing you got just to stick. Like you said, it was your second year. You made that play, and you're like, all right, I'm probably going to stick around now in the NFL.
Yeah.
What did you see last year from Ke'Lavon Chaisson, who certainly comes in as a pass rusher in a completely different circumstance? You know, not everybody hits in the rookie season. Do you see the upside? Is there a bright future still in store for Ke'Lavon? And what advice would you give him as an NFL pass rusher on what he might be able to improve on in year number two?
Yeah, that's one of the guys. For me, I'm always skeptical of guys not having a whole bunch of sacks or, you know, or just not really showing that one-on-one pass rush move. I feel like watching his tape, he used a lot of games and all that kind of stuff. But, like, he got sacks off a lot of games, stunts and stuff. But he has the tools to be an elite rusher. He can bend. He can run. He's strong at the point of attack. So, for him, I think he just has – I think – really what he's missing was that veteran presence, honestly. Because I sat back and had a convo about this with a couple guys. And I feel like Ez Campbell would have helped him a lot in that development and his, you know, and his tool set and what he needed rookie year. But saying that, though, you know, I've seen guys, you know, have two sacks and then next year they bust out on the scene. You know, I like to point out Dante. You know, Dante got hurt his rookie year. And I think he's been solid ever since. I think he had double-digit sacks not too long ago. He just read up on the contract and whatnot. So I put him in that mold with Dante, just ultra-athletic. And once he figures it out, he's going to be a force to kind of reckon with. So the future's bright for him. The future's bright for that D-line. I like Josh Allen a lot. I like Ke'Lavon. So, yeah, we'll see what he can do this year. And I think he just got to hone in on his skills, his tools, because he's gifted. And I think we'll see a big leap for him this season.
You tweeted out about something that Mike and I mentioned to one another at least every day when we come in for the show at some point, and that is I would like to get your thoughts on WandaVision and just watching the first Marvel show here this year.
Yeah. I was confused the first two episodes. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, what is going on here? Like, I'm about to change this. What is Marvel doing? But watching it and watching the last episode, I hope everybody watched it. And they finally call her like Scarlet Witch. And just seeing that, I don't know, just seeing everything play out and watching all the little Easter eggs and Monica Rambeau. And, you know, that was just interesting to watch. And that's satisfying to see. I love it. So I'm anxious to see the final two episodes. And I'm honestly waiting for, the Captain, what was it, Captain's? The Falcon and the Winter Soldier show coming up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm waiting on that one, and they need to go ahead and just drop Black Widow. I don't know why they're waiting, man. They just go ahead and need to drop that on the Disney app and call it a day.
They keep pushing it back. I'm with you, man. I don't want to leave my house to go to a movie anymore. I just want to watch it on my big screen, man. It's fine.
Put it on Disney Plus and let us just go out there and have a day.
Watched Age of Ultron yesterday because WandaVision got me in that mood. I've already watched this week's episode three times. So you're our people, man. If you're out there talking about Marvel Easter eggs, you are my guy right now, Ryan Davis. So we do too. So for you this year, we're just talking about, you know, the Jags. It's possible if we don't know if there'll be any international games this year with the COVID hanging around still. But with a 17-game schedule, we may have 9 home games here in Jacksonville in Trevor Lawrence's debut season. Are you a guy? Do you try to get to the stadium? Do you take in a few games in person, and if not, are you going to plan on changing that in the future?
Yeah, I didn't catch any last year, but the year before that, I was on the sideline. I got a chance to, matter of fact, I got a chance to speak with Dave Caldwell briefly. I was right there next to the D-line watching them do drills, so I brought my son out there. But I think this year I'll probably try to catch a little more games and be on the sideline. I want to be a little more involved. With the squad and the alumni and all that kind of stuff. Since I'm here, you know, I kind of want to be involved in around the game. I still miss the game. So anything I could do to be around, the game and the guys, I think I'll do it. So, yeah, you'll probably see me at a few games this year. For sure.
All right. We'd love to see you out there. You can follow Ryan, as many Jaguar fans do, on Twitter at BigDavis813. Ryan, why do you think you've been so successful in connecting with the fan base? I feel like you're an immensely popular guy for a guy, who was a guy who came off the bench his time here, You know, had some success, but you weren't on a bunch of winning teams or anything like that. Why do you think you connected so well with the fans?
I think because I'm blue collar myself. I think, you know, a lot of people in Jacksonville are hardworking blue collar people, and that's how I was just raised. You know, and if you just look at my story, how I came in undrafted, had to fight for everything. I feel like that's the everyday person. You know what I mean? So just seeing that, and just seeing the joy I played with. My attitude, I'm not a disrespectful guy. I have beliefs, but I don't let my beliefs get in the way of other people's beliefs. You know what I'm saying? You can voice your opinion, you can speak your mind with me, we can disagree and still be cool. You know what I'm saying? So I think Jacksonville resonates with me in that way, and the fan base does in that way. And, I just brought, some fun to the game. I feel like it was genuine for me. And Jacksonville is forever in my heart. My kids were born here. I got married at the courthouse down in St. Augustine. So for me, that's just one way. It's just natural. It just feels natural, that the city and I connect so well.
You certainly have. There's no question about that. We're glad you're still a part of the scene here. And we like to, hopefully COVID – clears up a little bit, and if it does and the situation presents itself, we'd love to invite you to come join us for a show in studio sometime during the season, get your thoughts on what we hope is a big turnaround for the Jaguars this year.
Oh, yeah, let me know, man. You guys got my number, so, definitely just hit me up and let me know when, and we can make that happen for sure. I'm here.
All right, Ryan, we appreciate the time, man. You got a beautiful family, the best to you and them, and whatever the future holds for you, we know your hard work will make you a big success. So thanks for taking some time out with us this morning.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. Ryan Davis, how about that guy right there? Again, you can find him on Twitter at BigDavis813. I mean, he does have just a beautiful little family as well if you go and look at his Twitter profile pic and his whatever you call that, the splash pic at the top of the page right there. Just a good dude, man. He really does. He's down to earth. And there were a number of Jaguar fans when they found out that he was coming on, hit me up directly like, wow, can't wait. This guy is one of my absolute favorite guys. So would not be surprised at all if he's getting some considerable votes today. Our question of the day asking you, who's your favorite Jaguar who never made it to a Pro Bowl? Maybe it is Ryan Davis, so we appreciate him stopping by on the program today. All right, coming up next, we've got This State in Football, the gems from around the National Football League. Jaguars Today rolls on with Tony Smith and ET. I'm Mike Dempsey on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, This State in Football History.
All right. I'm sorry. I read the wrong thing on the text line right before I started that, so made me laugh a little bit. All right, This Date in Football History. March the 1st, Rabbit, Elmer Layden became the first NFL commissioner on this date in 1941. Layden was one of the four horsemen at Notre Dame back in the 20s, part of that backfield. He was signed to a five-year contract, Tony. Annual salary for Elmer Layden as the first commissioner of the National Football League?
$52,000.
$52,000. ET, what you got?
$27,000.
You're both high, at least on his salary. $20,000 is what he made a year. He ran for 5 years from 41 to 46. Speaking of commissioners, Pete Rozelle was born on this date in 1926. He passed away at the age of 70. In 1996, would have been 95 years old today. Rozelle served as the commissioner of the NFL for nearly 30 years, from January of 1960 until his retirement in November of 1989. And during that time, the NFL grew from 12 to 28 teams, and Rozelle oversaw the creation of large TV rights deals, the creation of Monday Night Football in 1970, oversaw the merger between the NFL and the AFL, the creation of the Super Bowl, helped the NFL move from a 12-game to a current 16-game schedule. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1985. Another inductee into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Elvin Bethea, played in the pre-sack era when sacks were not an official statistic. Nevertheless, the defensive end played 16 seasons, all with Houston, after being a third-round selection in 1968 and made the Pro Bowl in half of those 8 seasons. Elvin Bethea, Hall of Famer, 75 years old today. Mike Rozier was the 1983 Heisman Trophy winner and looked to be on an unstoppable Nebraska Cornhusker team until they ran into the Miami Hurricanes. And the Hurricanes beat them for their first national championship. Rozier, nevertheless, was the second overall pick in the 1984 supplemental draft, also by Houston. He made two Pro Bowls in his seven seasons in the NFL. Only one time did he eclipse 1,000 yards. Mike Rozier, 60 years old today. And Tyreek Hill turned 27 today, a fifth-round pick by Kansas City in 2016. In five seasons, he's made five Pro Bowls, and he's also been a three-time first-team All-Pro. He was named the Pro Football Hall of Fame's All-Decade Punt Returner for the decade of the 2010s, and that's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, Gems Around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The Washington football team is expected to release quarterback Alex Smith in the next few days. The move would save the team $13.6 million in cap space and would leave them with just Taylor Heinicke as the only quarterback currently on their roster. Smith, now 36 years old and coming off winning the league's Comeback Player of the Year, has expressed that he wants to continue playing football. The Houston Texans announced on Friday that they were releasing running back Duke Johnson and center Nick Martin. The Texans will save around $9 million on their salary cap with the moves. They acquired Johnson by sending the Cleveland Browns a third-round pick in 2019. Two-time Pro Bowl cornerback and former CBS broadcaster Irv Cross has passed away at the age of 81. Cross became the first black man to work full-time as a sports analyst on national television with CBS in 1975 when he joined the crew on the NFL Today. His son Matthew said that Irv died near his home in Roseville, Minnesota. No cause of death was given. And in a sad note as well, former NFL Notre Dame and Raines High School football player Louis Nix III was found dead by the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office on Saturday night. Nix's family reported him missing on Wednesday after last being seen leaving his father's home that morning. Nix was just 29 years old.
Absolutely terrible, and shame on me for not mentioning it sooner today. Condolences to his family and friends and loved ones and all that. Was a really well-liked person from all accounts. So rest in peace, Louis Nix. What a damn shame, 29 years old, man. Oof, that's brutal. Brutal. Irv Cross passing away, Tony. You know, a few weeks ago we were talking about Fran Tarkenton on That's Incredible. You know, that it kind of like that. That's what my first memories of Fran Tarkenton really were. I didn't really watch the NFL. I don't remember watching Tarkenton as a player other than in some highlights. Irv Cross was even a little bit earlier. And, you know, growing up and starting to get into sports in the mid to late 70s into the 80s, Irv Cross was a fixture on the NFL Today. And, you know, as a kid, I was just like, oh, who's this guy? I had no idea he played. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you thought about, well, of course he played, right? That's how you know, a lot of former players would go to the set. But at the time, I guess I was too young to really think in those terms. And I just knew him as a guy who sounded like he knew what he was talking about all the time. And was a pioneer, was a trailblazer. And opened the door, and there was a lot of pressure on him, as you know, you'll see accounts now that he's passed away that he knew that unfairly, you know, African Americans hadn't had a chance to become full-time analysts. He was the first one to work as a full-time sports analyst on national television, and that he felt the weight of that pressure, like, hey, I can't screw this up. I've got to be shining example of what we can be here, because otherwise, people are going to point and say, well, that's why. I mean, you know, it's so ludicrous to think in hindsight. But it's all happened in my lifetime.
And it's not that long ago.
It's not that long ago. Yeah. You know, it seems like forever ago. You know, I've said this before. When I was growing up, like in the mid-70s, whatever, as a kid playing, and you'd hear something about World War II. World War II might as well have been in 1500s. It was so far in the past. Mm-hmm. It was really only 30 years.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, we're talking like 1980, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, or really now 1991, yeah. Tony. 30. You know, that's the gap. You know, now if you're a kid growing up, the first Gulf War, I guess, would be that same kind of reference point. You know, and it's really not that long.
Like,
ago.
I always have to do that with like the American Revolution and Civil War stuff that I see. You know, like, it's like, oh, like, those seem like they were very far apart. And then you actually look, and it's like, no,
They're not really that far apart.
Like,
right.
It's basically the same time from a historical perspective. But, yeah, that's 1975? That's, yesterday.
Right, practically. In my head it is, anyway. Anyway, I enjoyed watching Irv Cross and that crew growing up very much. They kind of like set the standard for NFL pregame shows. The NFL Today did. That was the kind of the model that everybody followed after that. So anyway, rest in peace, Irv Cross, as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll come back on the other side. Got a fresh mock draft out this morning. We'll take a little peeky at, as you mentioned, Alex Smith expected to be released. Certainly makes a lot of sense here in Jacksonville if you want that veteran mentor type. I don't know. Look, maybe Alex Smith thinks he can go somewhere and compete for a starting job. I don't know what's in his head, but the connection with Urban Meyer, the place he's at in his career, the way, you know, he's been a really good player, been a good teammate from all accounts. You could see a lot worse in a Jaguar uniform than Alex Smith this year as a backup for Trevor Lawrence and a mentor and a guide in some degree. So we'll get into that a little bit as well. But coming up next, Ryan Wilson, fresh mock out. The hot guy seems to be Mac Jones right now. Kind of climbing. Not climbing to number one, but he's climbing, at least in the estimation of some of the mock draft crowd out there about how high he might possibly go. Tua was talking about him. He says he's a more mobile Tom Brady. Where does Ryan Wilson have him coming off the board? We'll discuss that, among other things, including what the Jags do in that mock with the 25th pick. We'll do that next. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
A player like him doesn't come around often. So I think him right, I think Trevor can handle it. And I think he's going to transform this team, and I think we'll see the city have to be excited. I think it'll be reminiscent probably of those 2017 days where the team was, had the city pumped up. I think he's as advertised. It's a can't-miss prospect, and a lot of people like to, overthink it and all that. I just want the Jags not overthink this one. Just take him and, let's move on. I think that'll help a lot.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You heard it. Ryan Davis told you. But just sometimes you'd want more confirmation. We didn't have a February 29th. So are we? It was yesterday 2 months from the start of the draft? Or is today 2 months from the start of the draft?
I don't know.
We're just under 2 months from the start of the draft.
Yeah, it's, I think, 6 weeks from Thursday.
All right. Is that what it is? 6 weeks
I
from Thursday?
So.
Or is it seven?
I thought it was six.
Huh. I'll take your word for it. What I guess doesn't it start the 29th? I'm gonna say 7 weeks from Thursday, if you are adding them up. And while you do, I don't know. It seemed like you might have been navigating there, but either way, it's coming up April 29th. We know when it's coming.
And just like the big homie said, Jags don't need to overthink it.
Don't overthink it.
You know what I'm
saying?
Just he is as advertised, Joe.
Take your guy. Now, Joe smelled like a Bucks fan who like we have any say. Like, hey, let's say, Joe, you call up and we agree to your ridiculous proposition that the Jags should trade the number one pick to Tampa. Do you think that's actually going to happen? I mean, what is the end game here?
Text line was going crazy on my dog, Joe.
We're in the end game now with this one, and it's all about Trevor Lawrence, okay? There are 14 million permutations of how this draft might go. All of them had the Jaguars taking Trevor Lawrence, unlike the Avengers' hope to save the universe, right? They had one out of 14 million. This is pretty much 14 million. I'll say 13,999,999, God forbid Trevor gets hit by a truck between now and April. Yeah. I don't know.
It's funny. Like, you see all the talking heads talking about how close the conversation actually is, and then every mock draft that you open from everyone that's doing mock draft says, don't overthink this. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
Like, it's nonsense.
No.
Like, it's just, okay, we get it. You got to come up with topics every day. We got to come up with topics every day. This one seems like a non-starter to me, though. I don't understand trying to make this a topic.
Yeah, this is not one that I don't think most are trying to make it a topic. It was interesting, though, Lance Zierlein last week saying, you have those kind of meetings when you work at NFL media. Like, okay, everyone's saying this. How can we spin it that maybe they don't do that? Well, that's all you're doing. You're trying to spin up and concoct a scenario for views or clicks or listens or mentions or whatever the case may be. Here's what Ryan Wilson of CBS said. Not a lot to say at this point. Lawrence aced the 2020 season, his pro day, and now he's recovering from shoulder surgery before eventually becoming the first overall pick on April 29th. That's all he had to say. about the Jaguars selecting Trevor Lawrence in his latest mock draft.
It is 7 weeks from Thursday.
Yeah. Yay.
59 days away.
It's just another week to wait for Trev. Avoid trucks, Trevor, please. All right. Avoid traffic right now, especially if Joe's on the road. We all know that guy. Tendency to go the wrong way, you know, in the northbound lane, he's going southbound.
Yeah. Screaming out of the window, trade for Tom.
Brady, you want a championship? I mean, do you really? I mean, come on. Why am I even getting sucked into this? But if you think, if it's that easy, why shouldn't the Jets do the same thing? Like, if the Bucs would take, and obviously they wouldn't be getting Trevor Lawrence, but if the Bucs would take that pick, does that automatically mean the Jets will win a championship in the next 2 years? I mean, you really think it's that easy?
I don't know why they're not doing it.
I don't know. They should, because Zach Wilson. Maybe it's Mac Jones, Tony, will be the apple of the Buccaneers' eye. I don't know. He seems to be climbing, at least in draft circles. I don't know. You know, we don't never.
The reality, who knows?
Right.
What
we don't know what NFL teams are saying necessarily. But here's what Tua said, former teammates. He said, I would say he's kind of a sly, kind of athletic person. He's a more mobile Tom Brady. People rave about his accuracy at all the different levels, but they don't rave about his athleticism. Tua saying he's, and being a more athletic Tom Brady is not a high bar. Tom Brady's not a super athletic quarterback. He's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But he's not what you think of as a great athletic specimen running around. He's got that subtle pocket movement. Obviously, he's a great quarterback. He's, by consensus, the greatest of all time. But it does get interesting. Zach Wilson's mock has four quarterbacks in the first six picks of this draft. He's got Zach Wilson going to the Jets, then Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver out of LSU, to the Dolphins, Justin Fields to Atlanta, Penei Sewell to the Bengals, and then he has the Eagles selecting Mac Jones. Keep in mind, this is ahead of Trey Lance, who many have mocked ahead of Justin Fields as kind of the third quarterback in there. This is what he says. He says, who knows what the Eagles will do with the number six pick, but it's hard to imagine they no-showed in that Week 17 game just to take a wideout or offensive lineman. And with Carson Wentz now in Indy, there has to be a plan B behind Jalen Hurts, who is reunited with his former Alabama teammate, Mac Jones. So in other words, he's saying, look, they didn't blow off Week 17. And the way they did it, remember, they benched Jalen Hurts in that game. Who are they going to take a look at? Nate Sudfeld, was it? Something like that they wanted to get some reps for. And the feeling was, all right, if you're trying to ensure the highest draft position, you're generally thinking along those quarterback lines. I don't know if that's 100% the case. We don't know how they'll feel about Mac Jones, but it's plausible they could go that way. They could go Trey Lance as well. Trey Lance seems like he's going to be a year away. He hasn't played much football, and in Peter King's Football Morning in America column, he said, you know, NFL teams are concerned. They have this is the guy they needed to see more tape of, and they didn't get it. They got one game. He didn't play particularly well, completing 50% of his passes. So Mac Jones to Philly, I believe that's the highest I've seen him in a mock draft.
Yeah.
So, you know, who's to say? The vastly different types of quarterbacks that Philadelphia would have there. Jones, you know, pocket passing, pinpoint accuracy when given time, and Jalen Hurts anything but pinpoint accuracy, but a phenomenal play above the X's and O's, you know, when the play breaks down.
Yeah.
Tough to contain guy. He completed less than 52% of his passes last year. Jalen Waddle out of Alabama going seventh ahead of Devontae Smith going to Detroit. And then Trey Lance. So is that five QBs in the first eight picks? One, two, three, four, five. It is. Wow. That would be just a bundle. And everyone that goes, look, they're probably all going to go before the 25th pick. But you want to make sure at least the other four do, because that's four picks that the Jags wouldn't have been interested in going down the line. See if any of these stand out. Devontae Smith falls to 12 in this with San Francisco. Kind of an interesting selection. They just drafted Ayuk in the first round last year. They have Debo. They have George Kittle. But nevertheless, they have Kyle Pitts going to the Chargers. Ooh. And that is, I'm assuming, feeling that Hunter Henry will leave in free agency. Let's see. Pat Surtain lasts to the 16th pick in this one. You see him go higher than that quite often. Kadarius Toney out of Florida going 19th to the Washington football team, who's apparently going to employ that name for another season. Who else we got here? Rondale Moore off the board a couple picks before the Jags. And then the Jags, this has become the chalk pick for them, hasn't it? Christian Barmore?
Yeah.
The defensive lineman out of Alabama, as Wilson says, Barmore, or defensive tackle one, highest graded defensive tackle coming into the season. Took a while to get going. Saved his best football for the final month. Absolutely dominant in Bama's run to the championship. So Trevin Moehrig goes one pick later, who's a frequent player mocked to the Jags as well. We saw Levi Onwuzurike mocked to them by Todd McShay, mm-hmm. I believe, in his first mock draft there. And he's going off the board here, 29th to Green Bay. It's only a one-round mock, so Freiermuth does not go in the first round here. So I don't know. I feel like now it's becoming, whereas we almost skip past the first pick, we just want to read the blurb about how quickly they can dismiss any thought of anyone other than Trevor Lawrence being the first pick. Mm-hmm. And then we jump on down to 25. And now it's becoming, oh, it's Barmore again. Like,
yeah,
he may be a great pick, but you know, here I am, the guy who gets loves and hates mock drafts, and I know they switch it up just for clicks, but
yeah,
I get bored when it's the same guy over and over and over.
I hear you. In a league where it is so hard to find big-bodied athletic guys, right, that Barmore, who maybe fits that bill along the defensive line as well as anybody in this draft, that he keeps falling to 25, like, what is up with that?
You don't know?
Like, it's so hard to find guys that can do what you have to do on the defensive interior in the National Football League. And I get that it's not a great class. We've been talking about that for months now. It's mm-hmm. not a great defensive line interior class. I get that. But why would the best, potentially, maybe the second best at worst, being talked about guy at that position fall all the way to 25? Like, what is the deal there?
I guess it's just, you know, a combination of factors, I think. One, while he may be the best, he's not considered in the class of some of the recent defensive tackles
sure.
that we've seen go super high. And secondly, there are a lot of edge rushers that are going in these mock drafts, which
yeah.
is
they say that class is deep.
Right. And you see it's really not top 10 edge rushers, but when you get into that pick 11 through 24 range
yeah.
right there, you see several of them coming off the board. Greg Rousseau, one of them, Jason Owe is another one here out of Penn State that is mocked ahead of the Jags. Carlos Basham Jr. out of Wake Forest, mocked ahead of the Jags. You often see Jalen Phillips mocked ahead of the Jags as well, although in this one he falls to the 27th pick with Baltimore. So I don't know, you know, like Kadarius Toney, I could see him going there where he's coming off the board. I could also see him lasting into the second round, you know, because there are mm-hmm. a lot of good, like Rondale Moore in this one goes to the Jets at 23, but you see Rashad Bateman this weekend, who's a little bit bigger, ran at some regional combine that they put on, ran hand-timed 4.37 and an electronically timed 4.39 40-yard dash. This would have been the weekend, you know, big weekend at the NFL Combine, mm-hmm. of course, got canceled this year, but he is, you know, people look at him compared to some, there's a lot of the Rondale Moore types. Rondale Moore's 5'9", 180, right? Kadarius Toney's listed as 6 foot, 193. 6 foot's not short, but it's not that, you know, Mike Evans,
no, yeah,
Julio Jones type guy either. Not that Rashad Bateman at 6'2 is exactly that, but he's, I think more people look at his body size and say, oh, possession guy. Then you see some of the explosive measurables that he reportedly has. And that's the thing. You can't measure him on the same field, on the same track as all these other players. What does the 40-yard dash mean? I don't know in the end. You know, you look back, it was on this date, I believe 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that Orlando Brown Jr. ran like a 5.85. It was a 5.85 or a 5.65. He was like the fifth slowest
yeah.
guy timed at the combine in the last almost 20 years. And that's why he tumbled to the third round. People questioned his athleticism.
Yeah.
Does it really matter? Seriously, like an offensive lineman, how many times are you going to sprint 40 yards in the NFL? Occasionally.
Every now and then, yeah.
Yeah, occasionally you're going to get out there. But for the most part, not that big a deal. And I think he's shown that at this point in time. All right, we'll come back on the other side. The question of the day asking you, who's your favorite, not necessarily the best, but who is your personal favorite Jaguar who's never made a Pro Bowl? We'll weigh in on that ourselves and look at some of the responses to that. If you missed Ryan Davis earlier today, make sure you catch the show or at least the interview on demand at 1010XL.com. Reminder, tomorrow, Hayes Carline will be back as we'll preview episode number 2 of the Trevor Cast, which will drop this upcoming Thursday. With Tony Smith and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Jaguars Today is not for the arithmetically challenged. Okay, 8 weeks from Thursday.
Yes.
For the NFL draft. I knew 6 sounded too short, so I just went with 7. I bumped it up. We were bidding it up right there. I got closer. ET Prody would have come in over the top, gone with 8. He would have been the winner.
Or not.
Yeah, for the folks who pointed that out, you are correct. Yeah. Fact errors abound.
Yeah.
On Jaguars Today. More of an opinion type show.
We apologize.
In my opinion, it's only 7 weeks from Thursday. Can't really. It's kind of fact based. I don't know if you can have a.
Yeah.
You can have that opinion.
It's in 59 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Either way, 2 months away from the NFL draft. It's coming. Not surprised that several people responded to the question of the day, who's your favorite Jaguar who never made the Pro Bowl with Trevor Lawrence. Right? I get it.
Nice.
You know? We did, told you we were doing it on Friday. On Friday night on SiriusXM, we did the all-time NFL quarterback draft. And Kurt Warner participated with us. And he had the first pick. And I had the second pick. And then there were a couple of other hosts picking third and fourth. So we had 4 selectors, and we did 6 rounds. You know, it's for fun. It's just obviously, look, it's opinion-based anyway. He goes with Tom Brady right out of the gates. And pretty good argument to be made for Tom Brady. So I took Joe Montana.
Okay.
And I came back, and I got Otto Graham because, as I mentioned—
Man, all he did was win.
Bro, when Brady walked through that 7 championship door, Otto Graham was waiting for him.
Yeah.
Otto Graham's like, I already got my 7 rings, man. I don't know about you. They weren't called Super Bowls back then.
Yeah,
but
his
I got
last
7
year,
rings.
He had retired. And Coach Brown actually came to him and said, look, can you give me one more run, Otto? And he was like, yeah, I guess. Like, didn't come for any of the training, just showed up and started winning football games again.
Right. You go 1 for the thumb when you get the 5th one. I think the 7th one is 1 for the other thumb because you probably use the ring finger on the other hand first. Then you, I don't know how you do it. But he had 7 championships as well. Anyway, along the way, I picked Kurt Warner, you know, because, look, he is one of the better quarterbacks of all time. Plus, he's our guest. I had Warren Moon on my squad. Who else did I have? I forget, but the very last pick, and I explained it to Kurt because Kurt wouldn't get it. My co-host, no, I'm on Trevor watch, like, constantly. Like, so I took Trevor Lawrence. I'm like, you kidding me? You think I'm not going to take Trevor Lawrence here? It's just for fun. Like, people got so mad on the internet. How dare you? What in the world are you? He's never played a snap in the, as breathless, just anger and angst. And like,
who went after him?
Last one was, that was the second to last pick. Bradshaw went last. So, sorry, Bradshaw.
You took him over Bradshaw.
What the hell, man? He's a Steeler. What
but
do I care?
Trevor is probably the 6th or 7th best quarterback on the planet.
In the world right now.
Why would
according
you
to
not?
Jim Mora Jr.
Why
put
would
that,
you not
throw that up in quotes right now, E.
Did Mahomes go?
Mahomes did. Mahomes actually went very early in it. But Harris was picking, you know, because everyone's doing their own thing, apparently. Like, Kurt Warner's just like, I'm going to try to stack as many championships on my roster. Because in the end, he's like, I got 31 titles. And I'm like, all right, big guy. I'm like, I think I had 17, but I said, when Trevor hits his 15th, I win. So there you go for the next 15 years when he's bringing home the Lombardi. Harris was picking best individual fantasy seasons. Like, he took Dante. He's like, I'm taking Dante Culpepper. We're like, what? He goes,
whoa.
No, I'm taking Dante Culpepper's, like, whatever specific year season. We're like, all right, whatever. I mean,
yeah.
There's no
what
consequence
can you do?
To this. You know what I mean? It's just for fun and entertainment purposes only. So
yeah, you just put up the poll. If you were in this, would you have taken Dante Culpepper or Trevor Lawrence?
Trev, man. You got to go with Trev. And as somebody replied, somebody asked, why would you take Trevor Lawrence? And one of the first replies was, because Duval.
Yeah.
And I said, there's your answer
there
right
is.
There. Because Duval. What else, man? You wait. I said, I want my team to look good 20 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to be able to look back and admire the foresight that I had.
Duval AF.
Duval Air Force. Yes, with Trevor Lawrence. He's going to lead the Duval Air Force. I think that's what you meant by that.
Absolutely.
That's what I thought, sir. All right, E, before we get to the responses today, let's go around the table on our favorite Jaguar who never made a Pro Bowl and will make it the subject of today's 10-10 take.
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Peninsular Pest Control at CritterGetter.com.
All right, Tone, this is such a tough category, man, because we've gotten to be somewhat friends with so many former Jaguars, or at least consider them colleagues, close personal acquaintances, whatever you want to do. So favorite, it's a tough thing. But I will say for me, I'm going to go with a guy we had on just a week ago and go with Donovan Darius, who was a really good player, really good person. I mentioned last week he treated us so well. He's been such a good guy, good ambassador for the organization, cares about the organization. Cares about the people of Jacksonville. There are a lot of guys that made a single Pro Bowl, and that obviously eliminates them from this list. And I was looking at made a Pro Bowl anywhere. If somebody said, hey, if it's only for the Jags, I'll take Reggie Nelson. Well, it's not, but whatever. Do whatever you like. So I'm going to go with Donovan Darius as my favorite non-Pro Bowl Jaguar, with apologies to Paul Spicer and Tom McManus and countless others. Who you got?
Sure. The first thing that came to mind for me always does is Spice Man. Like Paul Spicer, with how open he was when you would go into that locker room after games, he was incredible to talk to. And it's not like he was any different on Tuesday if you had the opportunity to talk to him. Like, he was always just the same guy.
Be
just
a little calmer on Tuesday, that's just all.
But that energy he always had, it was always like you could get the honest feel for what was going on in that locker room going to Spicer every week. I did a radio show with him for 5 months. You know, where it was just he and I, so we became friends, and, you know, that was a whole lot of fun. But, yeah, Spicer's the first name that always comes to mind. And the other name that we don't talk about very often but always comes into my head with this kind of thing is Rashad Jennings. And it's
he's great.
Like, he's always willing to sit down with you, like, anytime. He never said no to hanging out for a couple minutes in the locker room. And even after his playing career, like, if we called him and said, hey, could you do something tomorrow, I think Rashad probably would. Like, he's that type of guy, and that him always telling that story about players throwing stuff away after using it once and him being like, what? What's going on? What, can I have this? Like that, like just somebody walking into the league and still having that wide-eyed, man, is this for real? Like, y'all don't hold on to your shoes. You wear them once and
right,
like throw them away. He's like, can I?
And
like,
he turned it into like a charitable endeavor for kids.
It's
man.
Such a cool little story. But yeah, Jennings would be on that list for me too.
ET, who you got?
It's tough just because of the personal relationship. So I'd probably have to say either Josh Evans or Big Red Bryant, just because of the personal relationships I built with them over the years and, you know, all the good times. So yeah, it'd have to be one of them.
Well, that's what it basically comes down to, doesn't it? Right? I mean, it really does. Personal relationships or whatever reason you like that guy. It doesn't have to be the greatest player of all time. It's just one of your personal favorites. So no issues with that whatsoever. Let's take a look at let's see here. Did Greg Jones make a Pro Bowl?
No.
Okay, Wikipedia said he did. We all know that Wikipedia is never wrong, right? I didn't think so, but
I can look. Pro Football Reference will have it.
Yeah, they will.
No.
He did not. All right, then he counts. Boom. All right, let me get to, here we go. Jaguars today, question today. Who is your favorite Jaguar who never made the Pro Bowl? Just some names here. Greg Jones got in there. Big point of contention on Twitter, but he qualifies there having never made a Pro Bowl. All right, who are other names that got mentioned? James Robinson, JagFan15, said recency bias and fantasy football related. Hey, guilty on both.
And robbed on the Pro Bowl.
No question.
Yeah.
Paul Spicer, Sendarek Marks, Roy Miller, Trev, Brad Meester getting some mention. The Boat getting some love. Daryl Smith getting some love. I think a lot of us agree Daryl Smith may be the best Jaguar to never make a Pro Bowl. But,
yeah.
In this case, Jonathan's favorite as well. Mike Sims-Walker, Mike Pete getting some love. Ace Sanders getting a mention here. A lot of repeats from the ones I mentioned. Joe Zelenka He bought my sister and me breakfast at the Waffle House because I recognized him. That's a pretty good thing.
Very cool.
Joe Zelenka wants to snap me a football down the dairy aisle at Publix. And he did. He skipped it to me, too. Like, Zelenka, come on, man. This is all you do. Long snapper. Let's go. That was on a remote way back in the day. Double D getting some love here. More for Trev. Did Puzlesny ever make the Pro Bowl? Yes, he did once. Pete Mitchell. Several votes for Tom McManus getting in here as well. So, you know, it all comes down to personal preference. Yeah. And Ryan Davis, Tyson Alualu getting mentioned. We appreciate Ryan Davis stopping by today. Cool dude. And as he put it, he's this blue collar, down to earth. That's why he feels he connects well with the fan base.
Yeah, and another one of the guys who has made it home, right? Like, it's remarkable how many of the former players make Jacksonville home for
a place to live, man.
Nationally, they go, why would anyone want to go to Jacksonville? Well, a bunch of them come here and never want to leave.
Yeah.
You know, after they discover this area. So, yeah, if you don't want to come here, stay out.
Right. We don't need you.
We're all right with y'all not clogging our streets.
Absolutely.
It's cool.
Fine with that. So thanks again to Ryan Davis for joining us today. That was fun. Good conversation. You can go back and catch that. It'll be posted shortly after we go off the air here in a few minutes on the in the on-demand section at 1010XL.com. Right now, let's welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill on 1010XL.
All right, Joe Cowart's here. Joe, happy month of March to you.
Yeah, exactly. March 1. It comes fast, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
This is the franchise tag and free agency month. So.
Man, how about this? Mike Rozier is 60. Right? Like, 60. He's 60, bro.
You know, all right, that blows my mind as much as Bezos. You, both Mike and Tony, and me for that matter, we are all closer to becoming a millionaire or making $1 million than Bezos is, than he is right now. That kind of blows your mind.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
He has that much money. Doesn't matter what you're making right now, you're closer to making $1 million.
Oh, closer because he's so far away over.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Top. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, there's no question. I would trade places.
In a heartbeat.
I think he could make $1 million. He would just have to find someone who could break one of his $1 billion bills. Mm-hmm. You got change? I could make 10, I don't know,
yeah,
10 $100 million bills 60. And go from there. Yeah, 60, right?
Yeah,
I mean, because that's the guy that you and I grew up marveling at.
Yeah. The Huskers at that point had it rolling.
They were unbelievable. Yeah. That offensive line was considered maybe the greatest of all time.
And remember, they would call the Nebraska defense the Black Shirts. Mm-hmm. And they were so good back then. And then obviously, at least the word is, with Scott Frost going there getting a nice contract, they just can't recruit. There aren't enough good players there.
Well, I hate to do it because they do it to Jacksonville all the time, but who wants to go live in Nebraska?
That's
Like, I mean, at least in Jacksonville, sunny, great weather.
Right.
Right? No state income tax. I don't know about the state income tax situation. I understand it's college compared to the pros, but
it's cornfields.
Yeah.
And so there's really not a lot. Like, hey, Clemson doesn't have a whole hell of a lot, but they have figured out a way to get. Once they got it going and rolling, then those kids want to play there. But Nebraska.
Obviously, Nebraska recruited well for years and years and years.
A great coach.
I had a great, right. So, you know, could it happen again? I suppose it could. But
probably never should have run off Frank Solich. But, yeah, it's so much different now.
What do you guys have coming up today?
We'll definitely dig in from the weekend. Just all sorts of things went on with the Florida State basketball team. Losing North Carolina, Florida beating Kentucky. So we'll jump in on that. But also we'll have Ben Lindsay from Pro Football Focus, who does that big breakdown on the Jags as far as the offseason, some of the needs. So we'll get in with him around the 1:40 time slot. But definitely go back over the weekend. And the quarterback rumors are hot and heavy right now as far as I love the rumor of Russ Wilson planting a seed in Jerry Jones's ear. Says, hey, come get me. If you can't sign Dak, come get me. At least that's a little bit of a juicy rumor.
I don't know if you heard we had on one of my SiriusXM shows this weekend. We had on one of the authors of that piece that broke that story. Mm-hmm. He put it at like 95-96% that he's in Seattle this year.
Yeah.
But he put it down to 30% next year. And he said he and Pete Carroll both back in Seattle like is like 2%. Like they will not – one of them's got to go. Like Russ is
so
not
–
this is not like Russ just – Russ is furious, is what he said. Well, like, furious that they're ignoring his suggestions on the offense and different things like that.
I don't blame him. Powerful move by quarterbacks, that's for sure. But we'll see. But the cap hit is drastically different next year, so that makes more sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big part of that. All right, Joe, have a good show.
Bye, man.
There you go. XL Primetime coming your way next. Tomorrow we'll check in with the Hammer, looking ahead to the TrevorCast episode number 2. Tony, I know you you didn't want to know how many episodes were left in WandaVision, but
that's all right.
You know,
I kind of had a feeling we were wrapping some things up. Yeah,
you know what? I wouldn't be looking forward to next week's episode, Ryan. Right? Really, I would not miss this upcoming one on Friday. Let's just put it that way. I thought, I'm gonna be sad when it's done. But I'm with him. Falcon and Winter Soldier will get me through. I'm such a child. All right, that'll do it for us today. For Tony Smith, for ET, thanks again to Ryan Davis. For all of you out there, we appreciate you listening to Jaguars Today each and every day. Head to 1010XL.com in the on-demand section if you want to replay anything from any of our shows here. I'm Mike Dempsey, back again tomorrow from 10 to noon with more Jaguar talk on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Joe Jacksonville.